Next item on the agenda is the consideration of draft advisory opinion 2010-18, the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. We have with us Mark Elias and Jonathan Burke on behalf of Requester, and please join us at the council's table. We have a presentation by Esther Hayden from the Office of General Counsel, and good morning, and when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 10-59, 10-59A, and 10-59B, which respond to an advisory opinion request from the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. The DFL is a Minnesota State Party Committee affiliated with the National Democratic Party. After the 2008 election, the DFL raised and deposited over $2 million into its recount account to pay for a recount and election contest arising from the 2008 election. At the time of this request, the DFL has approximately $11,600 remaining in its recount account. The DFL's request concerns permissible uses for the remaining recount funds. Specifically, the DFL asks three questions. First, whether the DFL may transfer the remaining recount funds to its federal account to be used for the 2010 general election. Second, in the alternative, whether the DFL may request that donors to the recount account redesignate their donations as contributions to the federal account. And finally, whether any recount funds remaining in the recount account may be used to pay for recount activities arising from the 2010 elections. There are three alternative drafts before the Commission today. We received no comments on the advisory opinion request and one comment on the drafts. I'd be happy to address any questions you may have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that presentation. Just at the outset, the most recent draft, 10-59-B, otherwise known as Draft C, did council get a copy of that?
We did. Thank you.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Any discussion, first of all, questions for council or council for Requester, or any discussion amongst commissioners? Commissioner McGann.
Might as well kick it off. This is an interesting one for a lot of reasons. We're here because we're talking about money raised for recounts, which years ago the FEC said was recounts were sort of in connection with an election, but not really, which never made a lot of sense to me because, well, for recounts, that's counting votes that have already been cast. So I don't understand the thought that this is somehow a separate deal, but that was water under the bridge long ago, and no one can really seem to figure out what happened back in 1978 or 79 when the commission came up with this. And then there's been some more recent AOs, most recently the Franken AO, which was correctly decided based upon a prior AO, but if you were on a clean slate, the Franken AO is more in this la-la land of made-up kind of law. But that's where we are. And now the question is, given that the commission has said that the state party can raise money for recounts, I guess at the time you asked about one specific recount. Now the question is, all right, well, we didn't spend it all, or we have the other recounts, or what do we do now? Broadly defined question. And my view is you can do whatever you want with it, so long as you don't break through the real contribution limits, which is for actual campaign activity, which I think is draft B. And hopefully I have the right B. All this blue paper, right? It's easy to get confused. So I support draft B because, in my view, that is the way to go, because it does give life to the contribution limits, which really is the whole, really the only thing we have to grab onto in all this, because the rest of this seems to be a creature of the commission, not through rulemaking, but AO and some rulemaking. I mean, I don't want to be too dismissive of the recent AOs. This is a rather ancient concept that has worked its way through, and the rationale for it is sort of lost now. But that being said, others, I think, want a more elaborate regime, and that's certainly reasonable people, I guess, can disagree on this, but for me, you raise money for a recount, you can spend it on recounts, and if you want to move it over to your regular account. I was going to say general account, but it's not a general account because campaigns have general accounts, party committees don't. I guess you could, so long as you don't double dip. You can't take money. You can't have people maxing out to the recount fund and then maxing out to your regular fund and say, well, that's not a violation of limits. That would be, for me, you could do that. You may want to, however, let the contributors know, not because the government's telling you, but because they have the biannual limit, and if you move from one to the other, the biannual limit all of a sudden is going to apply. I don't really have any questions other than one question. If we do go down this road of some sort of redesignation scheme, which, of course, is not based in the regs. The other drafts concede at the outset that the redesignation regs don't apply, but, well, maybe we'll apply them by analogy, which I found odd because those are really set up for campaigns with two bites at the apple, primary and general election, not party committees. How much of a cumbersome process would this be for your client? How much would it cost, that sort of thing, having to move money around and go back to donors and all that? And I ask that because the commission has not had a lot of success with its current redesignation regime. Number of audits have come through before I joined the commission, since I've come through the commission, which frankly end up being a mess because people don't keep the letter and all that kind of thing. What's this going to cost your client? How tough is this for you to comply with as a practical matter?
Yeah, I think that you raise an important point. The state parties were thrust in this role as a result of the 2006 24 advisory opinion. The commission could have gone a different way, and at times various commissioners have expressed an interest in revisiting whether or not this ought to be the right direction, but this is the path that the commission traveled down, and it's thrust the state parties in a unique role, or not a unique role, but in an important role. And if you look at the dollars that were raised into the DFL as part of the recount, you can see it was a lot of activity. The commission has a lot of experience in the audit context and in the enforcement context with state parties and compliance, and I do worry that adding a what I guess I would refer to as a prudential requirement, which I think is what draft A would suggest that is required, but not statutorily or regulatorily, but I think becomes just another trap for state parties. And you know, another way that state parties, which are already underfunded and asked to do a lot in connection with federal elections and not in connection with federal elections in the case of recounts, potentially, a debate for another day, I think it adds another trap. It is yet another thing that state parties will have to manage and track. And I do think that if the commission were inclined to vote for draft A, it does need to reconcile candidly this idea of a federal account. I mean, the advisory opinion 2006-24 describes the recount account as a federal account. It does, in plain terms.
And that's campaign talk, not party talk.
Right. I mean, so if it is a federal account, it is hard to reconcile a required written redesignation requirement with the plain text of 300.2.
Let me, if I can.
I'm sorry, 300.30.
Let me keep the question I'm asking going, though, because I remember that when the commission put into place the best efforts regime, right, and you have to send out these letters, that was litigated, and the argument that those who sued the commission made was this is going to cost a lot of money, send out these letters, stamps, postage, and all that kind of thing. And the commission went to court and said, no, it's really not that big a deal, limited. And the court said, okay. Of course, it seemed to have it's crept out from what the commission said in that court case it would be, but that's another topic. But it's similar in that this seems to me to require more staff, more headache, more bureaucracy, and I'm worried about, really, frankly, not your client here today, although I'm sure they're not flush with money. Very few state parties are. But what about a local party or maybe a third party? What about if a third party actually finds themselves, you know, it's the dog that was chasing the car, and all of a sudden the dog catches the car, and now they're in a recount? They're going to raise whatever money they can, right? And is this? I'm trying to get more of a sense, and I think some of the commissioners may want to get a sense of really how much of a headache this is, because it's easy to say, well, you guys redesignate all the time. This isn't a big deal. State parties don't. they just roll the money forward, and this is a kind of a new thing. But cost-wise, man-hours, anything you can sort of offer may
be helpful. I mean, I think you put your finger on it. I don't want to oversell what this will mean for the DFL, because the DFL is a very the DFL made a large commitment to this recount and engaged in it, and now has a relatively modest amount of money left, and obviously has lawyers here today trying to resolve this question. I do think, though, that for the vast majority of state and local parties, this will be, like I say, I can just, you know, there. I'm looking at this end of the dais, because I know that that's where it's going to come from. It's going to be in the audit context. It's going to be an auditor. I hope I'm pointing to the right end.
Well, the empty chair.
The empty chair. I think it is not something, this is not going to be intuitive for state parties. It is not going to be intuitive that to move money from one federal account of a state party to another federal account of the same state party, that you need a redesignation. Because, in fact, moving money from federal accounts to federal accounts is something state parties do quite a bit of. They move money from national federal accounts to state party federal accounts, one state party federal account to another state party federal account, and this will be the exception to that rule. And, you know, some number of years from now, when the DFL, Franken, recount AO, and the whole recount situation is long in the rearview mirror, there is going to be some state party that will not have been aware that this was even an issue. They will have done it, and they will then face either a MER or an audit. And this commission will have laid an unusual trap for them, potentially. I'm not prejudging it what the vote will be, but will have laid an unusual trap for a state party, which is that they had to take money from it, what the commission described as a federal account, which is a federal reporting account, and nevertheless had to redesignate it from one account to the other.
And if you're a party and you want to comply with the law, I guess you don't wake up in the morning and say, gee, I better go search through advisory opinions for new sources of law, because you're going to pull this book off the shelf, and it's not in there.
It's not in there.
So
it's not in there, and
This is actually the Code of Federal Regulations, which has gotten quite heavy over the years. But that's just a...
I think it's not in there, and as I said, I actually think that there, if the commission is inclined to adopt draft A, I do think it needs to... And I say this respectfully to the drafters, I do think there needs to be some greater attentiveness. I assume the commission is not saying that federal transfers between federal accounts is no longer lawful, because that will be big news. That'll be something that he'll want to cover, because the RNC, the DNC, the national parties will want to know they can no longer transfer money between federal accounts. There is a way to read draft A that is in fact what you are saying, is that transfers between federal accounts are in fact not permissible. And I don't think that's what the commission meant, and I don't want to set up a straw man. I think it's whether it's fixable or not, I'll leave to you all, but I do think that there is a, if you don't mean that this is a federal, if you don't mean that the recount account is a federal account, then that's something to confront head on. If it is a federal account, then I think you run straight into the regulations as they are, which don't seem to require redesignation.
Further discussion or questions? Commissioner Weintraub.
Go ahead, prejudge. You know where we're going on this. We started out with a couple of drafts because there were a couple of different perspectives, and neither one of them had four votes. And I think where we're going to end up is on draft C. I think that's the most recent edition, the revised edition, which actually... gets you pretty far to where you want to go. It's good of you to provide alternatives. You're a good lawyer. It's good to have a fallback position. Well, if we can't do this, can we do that? Some of us think that the transfers are precluded under the regulations in the Green Book. And I understand your argument, and it's actually kind of an appealing argument from I think if we didn't have a regulation that appears to some of us to preclude, this is not a question, by the way, I'm just explaining, if we didn't have a regulation on the books that appears to preclude the transfer, then, and we were writing truly on a blank slate, then I think it's a very appealing argument that these are federally permissible funds and you're going to move them and you're going to make sure nobody's busting their contribution limits. You know, if that were the case, I would probably be inclined to say yes to the transfer. Unfortunately, I think there is another regulation that bars it. And you know, you're in here asking about your $11,000, but What we're creating here, as I know you're well aware, is a regime that's going to end up with a lot of money flowing, because we are sort of blessing the notion of these perpetual recount funds, and which is fine. And but people are going to raise a lot of money into them because it's like, oh, great, now we got, you know, we allowed this other pot of money to be raised subject to the limit a few years ago. I think that was the right choice. I supported it. But now we're going to see these large pots of money accumulating, so the stakes are actually much higher than your $11,000. And I think you know that, and if we were only talking about your $11,000, I'm not sure that it would even be worth your billable hourly rate to be here today. But I think that everybody agrees that, you know, as you suggested, if you go through the redesignation process, that would be permissible. And everyone agrees that you can have these perpetual accounts, these recount funds that you can use for later recounts. They're not restricted to, you know, just this one recount, and then the money kind of, what do you do with the money? You have to, like, give it back, or it evaporates or something. So I think this is, the Commission has been actually fairly accommodating of your recount requests over the years, including this one. And this one will get you, as I said, fairly far along the way to where you need to go, or where you, I don't know if you need to go, but where you want to go, and where I'm sure others will follow. And we can only hope that they are equally well advised when they do so.
Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't going to raise this, but I really feel I have to, because it's a frustrating point for me, and it's probably a frustrating point for people who ask for AOs. When Commissioner Weintraub said you came out of the gate saying you know where we are, well, you don't. That's why he asked for an advisory opinion. And when we do advisory opinions, we're supposed to deliberate these in an open meeting. The APA, I think, requires it. I think our regs require it. I haven't actually found that page of the regs lately on AOs, but I think the whole point is the Commission's supposed to deliberate in public. And when we come in here and it seems like there's already a consensus draft that's been drafted, when did all this happen? This is not being done in public. And I really since joining the Commission have really been amazed at how much goes on behind closed doors, and there certainly has to be informal discussion among commissioners, and I think there's been quite a bit of that in many areas that I think has been for the good, and I certainly don't want to rain on that parade, but there comes a point where I feel like I come in here, I ask questions, I'm actually curious to know what folks think, I read the comments, and whether there should be a redesignation regime here or not really isn't the point. I mean, I guess it could go either way. I mean, it's not in the regs, but certainly if you do it, there's enough votes, I take it, that you're going to have the protection of an advisory opinion, which maybe that's really all we're here to do is get you some guidance and go home. But it's troubling when it seems like it's a rigged system when you walk in the door, and it's just not right. And I really am getting, I'm kind of tired of it, because in this case, it unlike a rulemaking where you have comments from the public and you develop some sort of record, here we don't really have that. And when a commissioner says, well, you're going to raise a lot of money for these accounts, what is the factual basis for that? There is none. In fact, based upon my own anecdotal evidence and experience in the field, you probably won't raise a whole lot. It seems like GLAC kind of for everybody. GLAC, of course, is the compliance fund for presidential elections, which raises some money, but it certainly doesn't raise what a full-fledged campaign raises. But there's really no basis to say that other than personal opinion that they're going to raise a lot of money. Moreover, my experience is people don't want to give money if they know it's just going to go to lawyers. Right? I mean, on a personal note, Mr. Elias, you probably think in your heart of hearts, it's not really a bad thing if the commission concocts some convoluted, made-up redesignation regime, because then the money will never be able to be touched by the political operatives, and it'll only go to pay for lawyers. It's sort of like a building fund to build a house by the beach that you're going to get to live in, right? So it's good for commerce, but I don't think it's really good for policy. And, you know, wasting a lot of time on nuance is a thing. I don't think it's a waste of time, but it eats time. But my point is that the little stuff does matter. And to sort of come in, and we already have some fallback draft because we know the vote. I mean, that's smart on the one hand, because at least we know where we're going to land, and I guess you can get something to take home. And I understand that concern. But we can't get to the point where it feels like it's rigged. I mean, I walked in and I had, you name it, came up, have you read the consensus draft? No, I haven't read the consensus draft. I want to come in and listen to what people have to say in the room and deliberate as a commissioner, which is what I think we should be doing here. And I don't think we do enough of it. And it's really getting frustrating, particularly not to jump ahead on the agenda, but we, you know, with all this recent case law, we have some tough issues that we really have to talk through. And if we just keep doing this sort of, you know, stick to our usual position things, we're never really going to get to the heart of the matter. And certainly, recount funds is probably not the place to take a big stand on the big picture. But it's the little things tend to cause a problem. It tend to illustrate the larger problems. And you know, since I've joined the commission, the transparency has gone up. You know, you couldn't even get all the old MERS online. I mean, we can go on and on and on about how much stuff really was not public. You learned about the directives a few meetings back. You know, these have been in the public records room for years. No one advertised they were there. But, you know, this isn't really about the substance. It's just about how we do things. And I really think that we can't come out of the gate saying, well, you know where we are. They don't. They don't work here. They don't know what goes on. They don't know who talks to who. They asked an AO because, well, they want an answer to the question. And I think it just discourages people asking for AOs if they feel like, well, everyone's mind's already made up. That's different from commissioners being consistent on positions. I think some of us are quite predictable. I think that's good. Because people can at least, rely on that sort of thing. But in the AO process, I think we got to really make an effort to actually try to deliberate and let the public in more on what goes on at the commission, so that the thinking of the commissioners, I think, can be fleshed out instead of coming in here and just blowing through it and, you know, do a couple motions and in and out. So apologize for the long speech, but I really can't keep being a part of this. We have to deliberate in an open meeting. And we can't come in and basically say we already know the answer to the question, because it sort of defeats the deliberation process and frustrates what the law requires, which is an open meeting.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As so frequently happens, I don't know what you're talking about, Commissioner McGann. particularly... I'm struggling to think of a time when, as a result of a discussion at the table, you flipped over to my side of the argument. So, you know, I find that comical. But, you know, last night, you know, we've been talking about this for obviously since the request came in, and I'm available to talk to you. I'm in favor of more discussion. I'm available anytime you want to talk, Commissioner.
How about now when the public's listening?
We're talking. Have you ever said anything that you were concerned? Gee, I don't know what Commissioner Weintraub thinks about that, and she's so shy, I just don't think she'll weigh in on this topic. I don't think that's a problem. You know, last night it became clear that it was unlikely that we were going to agree on the transfer regulation piece, on the transfer piece of this, not regulation. It was suggested that we should come in and have a discussion and leave it up in the air and then direct counsel to draft a response based on the discussion at the table, which would not be provided to counsel and he would not have the opportunity to even look at before we voted on it. Then it would be circulated for a secret tally vote and we would vote on it that way. And I said, well, that's not very transparent. If we can kind of see the direction of where we're going, why don't we prepare a draft that we can discuss at the table, which I think is what we've been doing. If there are votes for it at the end of the day, there are votes for it, and if not, not. But, you know, my comment was just meant to suggest that Mr. Elias, as a savvy and experienced observer of this group, seeing three drafts, one of which has one answer, one of which has another answer, and one of which seems to go down the middle and say on one issue we can't agree, that he would probably have a sense, looking at those three drafts, of where likely the result was going to be. You know, yeah, sure, somebody might change their vote at the table. I've done that, actually. It's the notion that we don't have that we're not properly discussing these things. I'm here pretty much every day to talk about it, and I'm happy to talk about it here all day long if you want to.
Further discussion or comments?
Sure. Could you ask what's the basis for your statement that the recount funds are going to raise a lot of money? Where's that in the record for this AO? Any comments that support that or anything from the public?
I just find that an unfathomable question. You actually think they're not going to raise money for these recount funds? When they had the last recount, they raised over $2 million. How's that for a fact in the record? And that was for one recount. So now we're saying, you know, these are going to be able to exist in perpetuity. I feel, based on my years of observing people raising money, when they get the opportunity to raise money, that money will be raised. Mr. Elias, do you doubt that money will be raised for these purposes?
I only answer when there are questions.
I just asked you.
I think that there is no question that money will be raised for recounts. In fact, as you know, I brought a number of advisory opinions to try to clarify whether national parties can raise them, state parties can raise them, candidates can raise it, national parties can raise it before an election, national parties can spend it before an election, and now whether what the state party is to do with leftover money. That said, you know, I will point out, just so the record is clear, the DFL raised $2,165,451.53. And it was left over with $11,583.61. So there's a difference between the raising of the money and what is spent and left over. And that I think, you know, it is one thing to say they will raise a lot of money. I think recounts probably are going to stay, you know, are expensive and probably are not going to get less expensive. I do think that's a separate question for you all to consider what then to do with the remaining funds, which is what we're asking here, which is actually a relatively modest amount.
Other questions or discussion? Commissioner McGann.
I'd like to, if I could, Mr. Chairman, make a motion that we adopt draft B of the advisory opinion.
Any discussion on the motion? I support this motion. Primary concern that's raised in this request is will it circumvent the contribution limits? And as has been pointed out, the recount fund consists of funds that comply with the prohibitions, limitations, and reporting requirements of the Act. That any money transferred will be that there will be an accounting to make sure that there is no excessive contribution that's being received by the federal account when such a transfer would occur, and. With that concern being resolved, I think draft B has it right. I think it arrives at the right answer, and consequently, I support it. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Nay.
The motion fails on a vote of 3-3, with Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and myself in favor, and Commissioner Walther, Weintraub, and the Vice Chair opposed. Further motions? Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Advisory Opinion 20-18, you'll forgive me, I need to figure out which document. I believe it's was considered Draft A, Agenda Document 1059. Is that correct, Council? Thank you. I make that motion, and if I might just have a moment to explain. I am concerned about the travel, the transfer rate regulation. I think that it does speak specifically to this, and am not able to. That's why I wasn't able to support draft A. But that said, I do think that in the interest of getting requesters answers, and I think that is the ultimate goal here. I think that Draft C adequately does that and appropriately does that. And while I hear my colleagues, you know, concern about doing things in public, I think that's what we're here doing today. And I also think we have the other issue. We're required to provide AOs within a certain amount of time and as expeditiously as possible. And to the extent that there may be a compromise available, I do think it is beneficial to provide that not only as soon as possible, but also in the open meeting where we can discuss what the alternative will look like. We've had a number of AOs since I've been at the commission where we deadlock at the table, and then sometimes it takes a very long time. Sometimes we've had to ask for extensions on the deadlines on several occasions, and then we, you know, put out a draft sort of, you know, in regular course with no ability for further comments or discussion, and particularly now that we have this new procedure where requesters' counsel come and actually talk to us, they can provide us with their views on these things. So I actually think that providing an alternative, which is the logical conclusion to two drafts that are in conflict, provides more transparency. And I don't think it suggests that the decks are stacked. I think it reflects the practical result of having two drafts. And I think that the more discussion we can have here at the table, the better, because I agree that the public is entitled to know the rationale behind these. But I have also been concerned by the results that have occurred in the past where we deadlock at the table and then it takes a significant amount of time and with no ability for comment or discussion adopt a draft much later in the day that is sent to requesters. So at an appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to also move draft C, but at this point I will be supporting draft A.
So just to clarify, are you moving draft A at this point?
I have so moved.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify that, I mean, really what this comes down to is a highly technical argument about, you know, does a certain regulation apply? Is it federal funds? Is it not federal funds? Is it covered by other federal funds transfers? Is it limited by another regulation that says you can't move things into federal funds? Is that regulation modified by the ENJ? I don't think that the ENJ can actually modify the plain words of the regulation. So, you know, the ultimate dispute here is on actually quite a technical point of law. And I have, you know, on the issue of whether we should have a draft in front of us, I think, you know, the other alternative is that we actually draft at the table, which I have done from time to time in my years here, and my experience is that it's not a good process to be drafting at the table because people don't have adequate time to think through all the ramifications of every word that they're putting down. So having drafts out, and I know I work very hard to try and get drafts out on the on all of these matters last week to give people an adequate time to take a look at this, you know, at least the direction of where some commissioners were thinking. I think having drafts done in advance is likely to produce a more thoughtful process and a better thought-through result at the end of the day.
Any further discussion on the motion to regarding draft A? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
No. The motion fails 3-3 with Commissioners Walther, Weintraub, and the Vice Chair in favor, and Commissioners McGann, Hunter, and myself opposed. Do we have a further motion? Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of Agenda Document 1059B, which is described as draft C in advisory opinion 20-18, and authorize council to make technical and conforming changes.
Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner McGann.
Just a brief comment. The concern on the substance I have with C is what draft C is going to look like or be read years from now. And I've seen this trick before, and it's it's something that the commission's done over many, many years. So I'm not talking to any one person in particular. As a general thought, is that, you know, there's a debate at the table, and then, you know, there's a consensus draft, I guess. But then someone's going to read this someday in the future, potentially. Maybe someone who works at the FEC, maybe the council's office, maybe an auditor is going to say, well, there's an affirmative obligation now to do this redesignation thing. And I have a problem with that. Now, you could say, well, you can write your own separate concurrence and all that kind of thing, or someone's going to have to dig through the votes and see, you know, who voted for what. People don't do that. In fact, the commission doesn't do that. Remember the Canner AO? We sort of cleaned that up in a rulemaking, but the former chair Toner's in the front row. He was there, and there was a number of votes that went 3-3 all day.
At the table.
And then ended up with a draft, but then the FEC always cites the actual, you know, consensus draft, and there was a very eloquent concurrence by three commissioners. Mr. Toner was on that draft, probably the primary author. I don't want to, read too much into it, but limited the reach of the Canner AO, but yet the Canner AO was read to cover all kinds of stuff because people forgot at the time that it happened that was a consensus draft, and that three limited the reach of that draft. Again, not to get ahead of this, but the next item on the agenda, or no, two items down, is going to have, when we get into CalMed and what concurrences are, and people forget what's what, but you have to read the whole file to know what the law is. And this is really, aside from my what the public should know, speech. My concern with draft C is someone's going to take this, and then all of a sudden this is going to become the new legal norm, and everyone's going to start doing all this stuff. There's going to be no rulemaking, no notice. No one's going to really get to go to court until there's a long MER, because you don't get to go to court sooner. Although if you had asked for the AO and you're somebody, you won't be able to get another bite at the apple. So if you want to go to court, you can, but the next person can't per Unity 08. Maybe you can take an audit finding to court now under Unity 08. Who knows? I think you probably can. But that's a whole other debate. So the draft C, I appreciate the idea of having a draft as a fallback to have something so we're not up here floundering around with pens and trying to write things at the table. I certainly get that, and that's generally the way to go. But my concern with this, with these consensus drafts, is it's going to take on a life of its own. I've seen it happen before. It happened in the Canner AO. It could happen here. I mean, this whole recount thing has taken on a life of its own, and it's now a creature that we're hitting forks in the road that I think a lot of us are very uncomfortable even hitting. And with that, draft C to me is that's a tough one, because although I agree that if you do all this stuff, which is not mandated by the regs, but merely imported onto your client by analogy, you're going to have the protection of an AO, because my sense is there's sufficient votes for this. But this is not a new rule. This is not a new law. This is not a new legal norm. And not all of us think you have to do all this stuff. But if you do, my sense is at least you're going to be protected. So that's my concern with these drafts that sort of fall back to positions that end up being read differently down the road when it's a different group reading the AO.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. An AO is a request from one requester. He has a question. He said, well, can I do it this way? If I can't do it that way, can I do it this other way? And I think we all agree that if he follows the procedure that he has laid out and said that he's going to follow, we all agree that, I think, that he's certainly not going to be breaking any laws that way. There clearly is some sentiment for allowing a more liberal interpretation and allowing him to do even more and not having to go through these hoops, but that doesn't have majority votes either. So what we have, and what often happens, and you know, we'll see this later in the day, and we've certainly seen it before, is one requester comes in, and then somebody else says, wow, I could really use some that AO. So, you know, while you're answering that AO, could you also kind of throw in something that's going to help, you know, us do what we want to do, try and hijack the AO for some other purpose and turn it into this broader rule of, now we have a new rule of how you go about doing, with all due respect to counsel who are doing their job, that happens too. But this AO stands for the proposition that this requester has come in and said, if I do this, am I okay? And we're saying, yes, if you do this, you're okay. And I think on that, they're actually is consensus. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks he's breaking the law if he goes through these, you know, whether everybody, it's clear that everybody doesn't think it's required, but certainly there's nothing, he's not breaking any laws by doing it, and everybody believes that this is permissible and that he'll be, as you say, protected. And what other people take from it, of course, who may be in slightly different circumstances, that's, you know, that's a question for another day. But, you know, today, all I think we're doing is answering Mr. Elias's question, Mr. Burkhan's, on behalf of this client, DFL.
Commissioner McGann.
I appreciate that. I wholeheartedly agree. We're only answering the question before us, but just in my experience, I've seen sometimes AOs take on lives of their own, and people forget that it's only the question being asked. And I also have to thank you for referring to my position as the more liberal position.
I don't do that too often.
Not since the 1940s.
Liberal
my position
in the sense of
liberal.
Liberal in the sense of libertarian.
Any further discussion? I saw Commissioner Walther reach for the microphone, but I
no.
Did you have an okay?
I'll just vote.
I share the concern that Commissioner McGann expressed about wanting to make sure that any vote on this is taken in its proper context. The requester did, Mr. Elias did present an alternative scenario to us, and I don't think that requester would have done that if that wasn't. Obviously, I don't think it was the preferred scenario, and like my vote on draft B indicates, I think that the primary request that he put forward, I agreed with. I don't think that that presented any legal problems. But in terms of this alternative, I agree that that this certainly does not run afoul of the commission regulations or of the Act. And I think there needs to be a distinction between necessary and sufficient. What is the scenario that's set forth in the alternative is certainly sufficient to comply with the commission's regulations and with the Act. I don't see this as being necessary, and obviously we're going to have a disagreement amongst ourselves about what's necessary and what's not, but it's certainly sufficient. I think that that this draft should be taken in that proper context and shouldn't be read as establishing a new norm that this is what has to happen in order for these monies to be transferred or redesignated. We're not creating a new rule of law through this AO. Requester presented an alternative scenario for us to consider, and I agree that this and the other both comply with the Act. But the votes aren't there, but I'm willing to support draft C. Any further discussion? If none, do we have a motion? Oh, motion is already on the table. Being that there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. And we will move on to the next matter.